decided she was the first day of the month is a better day. Looking forward rather than backward. We don't need to pray for last month. It's finished. We need to pray for this month. Well, if you have unleavened bread, fine. Yeah. I'll tell you, you know those white, what they call cream crackers from British cream crackers? Those are virtually unleavened bread. That's one reason it makes them so tasteless and soulless. And but if you really have unleavened bread, which I doubt, because it was unleavened, it wouldn't rise. It doesn't matter. We just take bread. If we haven't got the right thing, we just take. I mean, we're not technically more. We're not under the law. I've heard of prisoners in concentration camp who used crackers and coffee for communion, so because it was the only thing they had. I believe in only one large cup of wine. We all partake from it. I believe in just one loaf. Don't tear it up. Bring me the whole cup and the whole loaf. Whatever it is, if one cracker or a small loaf of bread, whatever it is, I want it whole. Because that's a very important lesson on the matter of communion. This is a simple type of the so-called Last Supper, the Lord's Last Supper with his disciples. One of the few little ceremonies that Jesus ever went through, really. He went through one of foot washing, and some churches believe in washing of feet. However, in that day it was necessary because of the dusty roads and dirty feet and open sandals. And it made a very good type of humility and daily cleansing. Besides the once-for-all cleansing of salvation, you need the daily cleansing of the Word from daily sin, which was what some people believe is one of the ordinances of the church, foot washing. Well, I don't mind if you want to wash my feet. I'll be happy to wash yours if you need it. Around here we are wearing a lot of sandals and our feet do get dirty. I never really thought it was necessary in this modern day and age, but some people do, and some of our kids have done it, some of the families and homes have gotten a great blessing out of it. So if you'd like to try it sometime, we can do it. At the moment, we're just going to have what's known as communion, or the Last Supper. I hope it's not our last. And the Lord said, as often as you do this, you do it in remembrance of me. Some churches do it once a year. Some do it once a month. First Sunday of every month, usually. The Church of Christ said it had to be done every Sunday, which is fine. He doesn't say how often you have to do it, but he said as oft as you do it in remembrance of me. So whether you remember it every Sunday, or every day, or once a week, or once a month, or once a year, or once a lifetime, I guess the Catholic Church in the Mass commemorates the same thing every Mass, right? Every Sunday, really. Well, they're amongst the once-a-weekers. Well, of course, the priest, he does it several times a Sunday, so he really does it quite often. I guess you'd say the Catholic Church really lives up to this Holy Eucharist more than any other group, as far as remembering it every day and several times on Sunday, huh? Of course, they got quite off the beam for a while during the famous French wine famine of the 1200s, and they quit allowing the people to drink the wine because they were too short of it, and only the priest drank the wine for quite a few hundred years. The wine was not served to the communicants, only the wafer. But then the priest drank salvation for you. He gave you the body, which stands for healing, but then he drank the salvation. This maybe is why so many few Catholics maybe are saved, I don't know. Or at least maybe why so few of them understand salvation. I never got a chance to try it. But we use both, and we use as often as we feel like it. We have had no set time or place. But I have been suggesting to the folks here that perhaps we should urge the whole worldwide family to not only have their day of fasting and prayer on the first day of the month, beginning at sundown as the biblical way was of doing it, the previous day, days in the Bible lasted from sundown to sundown. That's why in Genesis it says the evening and the morning were the first day, evening and morning, second day, and so on. And so we begin our fast yesterday evening at sundown and our time of fellowship and prayer. Perhaps at least once a month we ought to observe communion together, and what better day than on the day of fasting and prayer? Yeah. Huh? So, praise the Lord. Here it is, and there I could give you a sermon on communion. Some believe, like the Catholics, in the doctrine of transubstantiation, another nice big theological jawbreaker, meaning that it actually, after prayer and the consecration by the priest, it actually does become the very flesh and blood of Jesus himself. Even Martin Luther believed that. And he stood his ground at one of the Reformation diets. And he said, he just kept quoting the scripture, "This is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you." And there the doctrine of consubstantiation, which teaches that though these are only literal elements of bread and wine, that with them you spiritually partake of the body and blood of Christ at the same time. Perhaps that's what we believe. Well, you can believe whatever you want to. I don't care if you want to believe it's the actual body of Christ, it's okay with me. This is my interpretation. You don't have to believe it. But it's believed by many intelligent and thinking theologians that Jesus intended it to merely be a symbol or an emblem, a picture. He was conducting a little illustrated message, a simple illustration, an audio-visual picture of something he was trying to illustrate. And that as we partake of this bread here in one loaf, we are picturing the body of Christ, not actually eating the body and flesh and blood of Christ, otherwise we'd be cannibals. Of course, that's what the first guys who heard that sermon in the fifth, sixth chapters of John thought. He said, "Except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part in me." Well, sounds pretty strong. This, of course, was horrific to the Jews of his day because it was totally against the Mosaic law to drink blood or to eat human flesh. And that's why they were horrified, and every single body in the whole crowd that he preached to that day left him except the 12 disciples. Sounded to me like Peter must have been looking around for someplace else to go, but he couldn't think of any. He said, "Well, to whom shall we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life." It's as good as saying, "Well, we'd go someplace else if we could, but Lord, we can't think of any place else to go. You're the only one that's told us the truth. Maybe that's why some of you are stuck with me. I'm pretty hard to take, and some of my doctrines and teachings and practices are pretty hard to take, but you can't think of anything else to believe or any place else to go or anybody else to follow. You can't find anything better. You'll have to settle for me and the Lord's word." Well, that's pretty hard to take sometimes. But it's my personal opinion the Lord was merely illustrating the spiritual with these simple illustrations. And that just as I take this today, that which was one loaf or one body, we will break it into several pieces, as Jesus' body was broken for us, right? It was broken for us in a number of ways. Crown of thorns, beatings, the stripes, the injuries he suffered, the pain he suffered, and so on. Through this, as I've brought out before, the bread is for our healing, the healing of the body. His body was broken for you. By his stripes we are healed. If we were only commemorating salvation, then all we would need would be what? The wine, that's all. Because that's all it took to save our souls, was the blood. But to save our bodies, it took his body. If this little ceremony were only commemorating salvation, we would only need the cup, right? But since it is celebrating the salvation of the entire man, not only the salvation of his spirit through Jesus' blood, but the salvation of his body through Jesus' body, both of which were given for us, right? So, for this reason, Paul says what he does in Corinthians. He said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, what? Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." What did he do first? Took the bread first. And he gave thanks for it first. And then he broke it. And then he gave it to them and told them to do what?
Take
it and eat it. My body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In other words, to remember, help you remember. This little illustrated sermon here is to help you remember what Jesus did for you. This is why I am personally convinced it's merely a remembrance, a commemoration, not a repetition of the actual act of the killing and crucifying of Christ and the cannibalistic devouring of his actual flesh and a anti-Mosaic law, drinking of his actual blood. "And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood." Who drank it first? Jesus. In all the churches I ever went to, they served the people first, and the preacher and the elders last. But Jesus is the one who served himself, in this case, first. "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." This is like an illustration of his blood. It's not actually the blood of Christ. Came out of a bottle of wine from winery. But we use it as a picture, an illustration, that it's, we use it like Jesus' blood, like his body, in remembrance of his body and in remembrance of his blood. "And this do ye as oft as ye do it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Why do we do this? Why? Not only in remembrance of him, remember ourselves what he did for us, but it's also what? To show the Lord's death. It is a testimony. It is a witness to others of what Jesus did for us. It is both to help us, remind us of what he did for us. It is also our personal testimony of what he did for us and a witness to others. So communion is important. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." Now, how could you drink it unworthily? Well, I used to get scared to death when I went to communion when I was a kid, that I was going to drink it unworthily because I knew I wasn't perfect. I knew I'd committed sin. I knew I'd done things wrong. And boy, I sure did a lot of asking the Lord to forgive me, lest I drink or eat unworthily. Well, now, the issue is, what does it mean, unworthily? If you mean in the sense of deserving, did we really deserve the death of Christ? Did we really deserve, meaning you earned or worked for it and deserved it by your own merit, your own goodness, your own righteousness? Did you deserve his death, his body, his blood? Were you worthy of it? Is anybody worthy of it? Can anybody be worthy of it? Never. So, therefore, it couldn't have that meaning, could it? Because in that sense, we are all unworthy. And nobody could possibly partake of communion. So what do you suppose he meant then? What are we showing by this communion? Showing his death? It is a testimony of what? Of the meaning of Christ's death, which is what? His atonement for sin, salvation. It is a testimony of salvation. Right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, now, none of us are worthy of salvation. But there is one thing you can do. Jesus has done all the rest. He did the dying, the shedding of blood and all. All you did was to believe. He even gave you the faith. And receive him, right?
Mm-hmm.
This you did for your own sake.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do for others? What's the duty of every Christian?
To
witness, to be a testimony. To preach the gospel of Jesus' love. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And how could you do this? How could you be worthy or unworthy? Only through salvation, having experienced salvation yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
You are unworthy to preach the gospel. You are unworthy to testify that you are saved if you have never received Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You are not worthy of preaching the gospel if you yourself are not a Christian. You are not worthy of witnessing Christ if you yourself are not even saved, don't even believe in him, haven't even received him, don't have salvation. So this is what it's talking about. Don't dare partake of these elements if you're not saved. If you yourself are not a Christian, if you have not partaken of Christ, neither his body nor his blood in salvation, but you are lying. If the unsaved dare partake of these elements, pretending that they have partaken in these symbols, the spiritual realities, they are lying. Therefore, they're partaking of it unworthily. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he means. You're therefore guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Why are you guilty? All of us are guilty of the body and blood of the Lord, really. We're all guilty of his death because he suffered for all of our sins. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But once having received his salvation, we're cleansed from sin. We're no longer guilty. But being unsaved and pretending you're saved, you're still guilty. Very guilty. Even more guilty because you're lying and pretending that you're saved and have Jesus. And so on, you're even more guilty than ever. Because you're a hypocrite, a liar, pretending. So therefore you're very guilty. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. How? So that he's not guilty, so that he knows he's doing it worthily, because he knows he's saved. He knows he has spiritually drunk of the blood of Jesus and eaten of the body of Christ. And of course, the bread is particularly symbolic of healing. He didn't have to suffer for our sins. He only had to shed his blood and die for our sins.
Mm-hmm.
But his body suffered stripes and cruelties and beatings and pain and agony and suffering, so that through this he could also atone for our sicknesses, By his stripes we are healed. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. If any sinners are partaking of the Holy Eucharist at any church in the world today, and going to the altar and partaking of the wafer or the blood, who are not saved, are drinking to themselves damnation. They are pretending to be something they are not. They are pretending to be believers. They are pretending to be saved. They are pretending to have partaken and received Christ when they have not. And it's even the greater damnation to them. Not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. God can even judge both the Christian and the unchristian for doing this in a way that is not right. It's obvious that if any sinner partakes of it and is lying thereby, he's not really saved, that the Lord is going to judge him accordingly. But you know, I know a lot of Christians who have not discerned the Lord's body. They don't understand what the body means. That by his stripes were healed, that his body suffered for our healing, and who do not claim their healing as a result, and who partake of the body and don't even know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, it doesn't give them any faith for healing. They don't realize that as they partake of his body, they can claim healing for their body.
Mm-hmm.
So as you partake of the communion today, beloved, you should remember these things. As you partake of the bread, claim his healing for your body, because it's there for you. And perhaps that's one reason many are sick amongst us, even if you have died. And already you have partaken of his blood, salvation, the wine, and just remember as you do so, you are testifying of your own having received the blood of Christ for your spiritual salvation. As you partake of the bread, you're testifying that you're receiving the body of Christ for your healing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I hope you understand.
Mm-hmm.
Do you? Praise the Lord. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So therefore, we are to judge ourselves in these respects. First of all, are you really a Christian? Have you received Jesus Christ? Are you saved? Then you're worthy to partake. But also, are you discerning his body, partaking the bread by faith for healing? Do you believe in that Jesus also suffered for your, not only sins, but your body, your sicknesses, for your healing? If so, if you discern this, you can claim healing even as you partake of the bread. That even as you're eating this morsel of bread, so you can proclaim and claim the miraculous power of God's healing through partaking of the body of Christ. Thank you, God, for the truth that thou hast revealed unto this thy Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Amen. Amen. I haven't heard that preached too much. Very few. Most people don't understand what it means, and it was never explained to me as a child because I don't think they understood. But now we are going to do it, God willing. So we're going to do it as Jesus did. First of all, he gave thanks. Amen?
Amen.
So we thank you, Lord, for this simple little piece of bread which pictures and symbolizes thy body broken for us and for our healing. One of our first, most physical, necessary needs, Lord. You healed many, many people who didn't even understand your salvation. Their most evident need was healing. Their most immediate need was a touch to their bodies, and you did many miracles and healed their bodies. First of all, before they even believed, before they even were saved. Perhaps this is why you put the bread first, is knowing that in these physical bodies, this is one of our most desperate and obvious apparent needs, is physical healing. And then, of course, the blood, the supreme need, deeper and a little more difficult to understand for some, the salvation of the spirit. This, standing for the salvation of the body, the blood, wine, standing for the salvation of the spirit. Thank you for it, and thank you for this symbolism. Thank you for this little picture that we portray today in this holy communion with thee, thy body and thy blood. In Jesus' name we ask it, bless it, and make it a blessing to everybody here, that everyone may receive some measure of healing through discerning thy body and partaking thereof for their own. Even as all of these pieces which will be broken shall come from one loaf, we will be all made part of that one loaf, and thereby we all, our bodies, even as eating of this one loaf, all become one of one loaf, one body. May we too become one. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. The time they used to have music in church. But I was usually the musician. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I used to sing an old hymn. Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, for me. As thou didst break the loaves beside the sea. Retain your portion, dear Lord, sir. We will partake together. Beyond the sacred page, I see thee, Lord. Thou, my spirit cries for thee, the living word. Praise the Lord. The sacred page, the song is really about this being the bed of life. So it's not exactly appropriate. Shows you how they didn't really understand the bread being symbolic, not of the word, although it's sometimes called the bread of life, but of the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I like to partake it together because it's symbolic of our oneness. Now, we're all going to become part of one loaf of bread. Because we're all going to eat a little bit of that loaf, and therefore we're all going to become part of that loaf, aren't we? And that loaf is going to become part of all of us, just like Jesus is part of all of us. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I believe the Lord intended for you to eat it. And don't be afraid to chew it. He didn't say leave it lying on your tongue until it dissolved. After the same manner, he took the cup. And when he had supped, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for thy blood shed for our salvation. A picture of how each of us have received Christ, his blood shed for our sins. He said, take and drink it, drink ye all of it. Well, he said, drink you all of it, so there's no use in it. You shouldn't throw it out or throw it back or you ought to finish it. Praise the Lord. Well, now we have signified we're all one in body, the bread, and one in spirit. That's why I like to drink from the one cup, which is what they did. And these Protestant Baptist churches that have a bunch of little tiny cups, they never get the point. When they get the bread all broken up beforehand, they don't get the point of that either. That you've got to be like one body. Boy, there's a hot one for our efforts in the flesh. One body and one spirit.
Wow.
Now there's something that never occurred to me before. I often get something new into me. The fact that we are, in our family, we are one body all the way. Sexually as well. Mm-hmm. Really one bride of Christ. Mm-hmm. One wife, one body. How much more could you be one body than we are? Amen? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. I think this is a good time also in our homes that if we feel so led, if anyone has aught against his brother or sister, he needs to make it right, or she does. We've had some wonderful prayer meetings sometimes at an occasion like this, in which we have, some have not gotten along with each other, made amends, and wept on each other's shoulders, and said they were sorry, and forgave, and got things right. There are all kinds of confession, three major kinds. One is perfectly private, just for the Lord alone. If you've only offended the Lord and nobody else in what you've done, you only have to confess to the Lord. If you have offended somebody else, and nobody else knows about it but you and them, they're the only one you have to confess to, the Lord and them, to make it right. But if you have sinned before the whole congregation, or quite a few people know about it, and you've done something wrong that you know everybody knows, then you've got to get up and confess before everybody. And sometimes things are confessed before everybody that needn't be confessed before everybody. In fact, even shouldn't have been confessed, and did more damage than good. Anybody wants to make any confessions? Don't make it now unless you sin before all. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this little observance to show us the meaning in a simple illustration of the meaning of thy body, Lord, to discern thy body, how it was broken and suffered for our healing of our bodies, and the meaning of thy blood, Lord, how it was shed, thy very life given for our salvation, the salvation of our spirits. So that you have saved the whole man, Lord, not just half a man, not just the spirit, or not just the body, but you are saving both body and spirit, which make a whole saved soul. Thank you for it, Lord, and thank you for this time of fellowship together today. Thank you for this little illustration here today of our oneness, not only in the spirit, but also in the flesh. Thank you, Jesus, and of thy healing and thy salvation. Oh, praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank thee for the little word directly from you as well, Lord, even though through Abraham, encouragement, Lord, of the things that thou hast revealed to us, the truth that you've given us to show us clearly and help us understand all these things. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for thyself. Thank you, Lord, for thy provision for every need. That's so beautifully pictured here in this little ceremony today. May we understand it, realize it, and having partaken of it, Lord, to assimilate the benefits, even as we did the elements. In Jesus' name we ask thee for thy glory. As we pray together the prayer, Lord, which you taught your own disciples to pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, bless thee and keep thee, make his face shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee, and lift up his countenance upon thee, and give thee peace. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.